Our scripture today comes from the book of 1 Samuel in the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Excuse me. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations." The thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. Just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel reported the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots, and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will anoint for himself commander of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will also take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take one-tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take one-tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you that day." May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this holy word. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. Father, we pray that you would open these scriptures up to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Anybody want to fess up who put this in the box? Anyone? Anyone? So what was pulled from the box said, relate 1 Samuel 8 to today, particularly verses 7 through 9. And they included a bunch of questions, enough that I could probably preach for a couple Sundays on this. I'm hopeful that I will be able to answer these questions as best as I can. So in the scripture today, we see an elderly Samuel basically trying to retire, and he appoints his sons as judges over the people. Now, his sons had different views on what being a judge was, and they were different than their father. And instead of doing what was right, doing things how God would want, What they wanted to do was they wanted to profit from them. You want this? You want this to go your way? You know, slip me a little something. Well, the elders saw this and they said, well, this isn't working. We want a king to govern us. You know, it's all the rage in the neighboring kingdoms. And this troubles Samuel because he can kind of see that this is not really the best idea in the world. And so he goes off and he prays to God. And Samuel was lucky because God, he actually heard the word of God. And God said, if this is what they want, give it to them. They are not rejecting you, but rejecting me. Make sure you tell them what will happen if they get a king. And Samuel tells the people what the Lord has said and what is going to happen if they are ruled by a king and not ruled by God. And they still want a king, and so they get Saul. And anyone that has studied this time in history knows that in the long run, things didn't quite turn out the way that the people thought that they would, that it would. So, what is prominent, I think, one of the main things that's prominent in this, is the debate over which is better, God's law or man's law. Is it better to base society on the Bible or on the belief that man is wise enough to do it all, to be able to come up with good rules and good laws? There was a gentleman by the name of Francis Augustus Schaeffer. Anybody ever heard of him? Yep, you should. He was an American evangelical theologian, philosopher, and Presbyterian pastor. And he wrote a book, How Should We Then Live? The Rise and Decline of Western Thought and Culture. And Holly and I watched the 10-episode series that he filmed where he talked about all of these ideas. And we watched that as part of our religion philosophy course at Grove City. In this book of his, Schaeffer addresses the two bases for society. When we base society on the Bible, on the infinite personal God who is there and has spoken, this provides an absolute by which we can conduct our lives and by which we can judge society. This leads to what Schaeffer calls freedom without chaos. When we base society on humanism, which Schaeffer defines as a value system rooted in the belief that man is his own measure, that man is autonomous, totally independent, because we disagree under this assumption that we can take care of ourselves. Because under man's law, all values are relevant and we have really no way to distinguish right from wrong except for synthesis, pragmatism, and utilitarianism. And under this, because the values are relative to ourselves, we disagree on what is best for each group. This leads to fragmentation of thought, which has led us to the despair and alienation so present in society today. Now, Schaefer wrote this, I think, in the late 1970s. And it's, to my mind, it still holds. I think we can all agree, at least in general, that basing society on the Bible is a better option. Right? So let's go do it! There's a problem, though. As the years go by, society has drifted away from the belief that God's way is the best way. This idea that values are relative and can and should be different from person to person to person has become more and more prevalent. The thinking is, what is best for me is correct and must be legislated as such. The bad thing also is that we as a society have come to accept this and expect that this is the way, and there's nothing that we can do about it. So the wisdom of God being best has been replaced by the wisdom of man is best. Well, what happens when we lean on our own understanding instead of leaning on God's understanding? In a word, chaos. Our differences become wider, reconciliation becomes harder, and things start to fall to pieces. So, what happened under Saul when Saul was made king? In the beginning of his reign, you know, Saul did pretty well. Mainly his focus during his reign was on the military campaigns that Israel had to fight during that time. And Saul had many, many successes. But as time went on and Saul's ego and his head got a little bit bigger, Saul moved away from the wisdom of God to believing that his wisdom was the best. He neglected what was going on internally within Israel. And he began to neglect his religious responsibility. His relationship with God fractured, and he began to make mistakes. I experienced, when I went off to college my freshman year, I thought that I was hot stuff and I knew everything. I'm a college man now. I don't need to go to church. I need the rest. I'm fine. You know, I had all those years of Sunday school and church. And my life fell apart. Just as Saul's relationship with God fractured and began to make mistakes. And I, much like Saul, got a little arrogant. And with Saul, his military victories became fewer and fewer, and in my life started to fall apart. Now, luckily, I came to my senses second semester of freshman year and kind of got on track. But for Saul lost his crown. The people were upset with him. Obviously, God was upset with him, and he got kicked out. It got so bad for Saul. Before his reign end, Samuel had passed away. It had gotten so bad for Saul that he turned to necromancy to try to call the ghost, the spirit of Samuel back so that he could maybe save his kingship. But it didn't work, and again, he lost his crown to David. I think it's safe to say that society has fallen further and further away from relying on the wisdom of God and more towards relying on the wisdom of man. And chaos reigns. So the question is, are we too far away from God's way and from his wisdom? Is there a way to turn the tide and get back to rules and laws that reflect God's way and wisdom? I believe that it is, that there is a way for we as a nation to govern ourselves better the way that God wants us to do. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not like we're going to say a prayer and go out and immediately change the world. It took us a while to get here. And it's going to take a while to get back. So how do we do it? Well, we are told, Paul tells us in Romans, that we need to respect our various government institutions. We need to have respect for the various levels of the government and comply with its laws and precepts. It doesn't mean we think that they are right, but we need to work within and according to the laws that are currently in place. We might not like some of these laws. I know that there's a couple that I take offense to, or I take issue with. And we might not like some of the leadership shown by our elected representatives, but we still need to be respectful of them. I think the biggest way that we as Christians can affect change, can get back to considering God's wisdom, is to show others who Jesus is, what he offers to us all, and how he wants us to treat each other and the world. Let people understand that God's wisdom is better than men's wisdom. Now, I'm not talking about having a theocracy. That brings more troubles, as you can see if you look at nations that have that. And as I preached on the day before Election Day, America is not a Christian nation because we are not a theocracy. I do believe, and I know some people would take issue with this, I do believe that this country was founded upon Christian values and Christian wisdom. And that our founding fathers were very, very wise with the way that they set stuff up. But that doesn't mean that we can't make a difference. Like I said, the only way that we're going to have change is if people understand what the good news is and how God's wisdom, God's way, God's grace is better than anything that man can come up with. So who should make the laws? Ultimately, it should be God. And it should be God, and it should not be us. Amen.